Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Teachers develop a kind of sixth sense for plagiarism. Sometimes it's a borrowed phrase presented without attribution, or a clever line masquerading as an original thought. Still other times, it's nothing short of grand larceny. Suffice it to say, you don't need a Google search to conclude that large portions of 2 Peter have been lifted from Jude. 2 Peter may hold our interest, but completely original, it's not. Even today's reading makes me a little suspicious. The second letter, beloved, I now write unto you. It's almost as if you're begging to be believed, as if the epistle itself were crying out for canonical inclusion, desperately seeking to ride on the coattails of Peter's baptismal masterpiece. With 2 Peter, the apostolic era is slipping away. The Gospels have been written, Paul's epistles have been gathered, and the church is just beginning to scratch its head, trying to figure out what they might mean. The bonfire of Pentecost has settled into a scattering of embers, hot coals which Peter once more sweeps back into a pile. Not that our hearts can't be kindled by 2 Peter. We learn here that we are made partakers of the divine nature. We are assured of the eyewitness testimony of the Transfiguration, and we're inspired by the inspiration of the Scriptures. And all of this is wrapped up in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, a little something to please everyone. And if Peter didn't write the epistle, or didn't write all of it, well, that's okay. When I was a pastor in Arcadia, I was awfully grateful for those What About pamphlets. As to their true authorship, it hardly seems to matter. They answered some tough questions, were endorsed by the head honcho, and gave us pastors the kind of support we craved. But you don't have to be a pope or president to be busy. Who among us lesser mortals, pinched for time, hasn't pinched a line or two from the Concordia pulpit resources or from one of the many sermons flying out regularly on Facebook? It's not easy for someone fighting in the trenches to be original, not 49 or 50 times a year plus holidays, weddings, and funerals. What's a preacher to do? Well, I suppose we could do worse than to follow 2 Peter and say something like this. I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. That is to say, in most of our preaching, we're less like creative writers and more like scribes, bringing out treasures old and new. We're not carving new creches, but simply taking Christmas decorations down from the attic and putting them on display once more. And when it comes to the things of God, there's really no such thing as a copyright. As you have freely received, so also freely give. The gospel is public domain. Or as Peter might put it, silver and gold have I none, but what I have been given, I give to you, stirring up your minds by way of remembrance. And remembrance hits the sweet spot, because in the deepest sense, the beloved already know and are known by God. And so you've read the Cappadocian Fathers and want to share those deep insights with your people. Yet even then, you're preaching to those who have been baptized into the triune God and who already call upon the Father in the name of Christ Jesus. So we say, You can't be confirmed until we fully explain to you the mystery of Christ's body and blood. And yet, since days of tender youth, the baptized have hungered for that very body and blood, already believing what you hope now to teach. So it is. Even in our best and highest teaching is nothing more than putting into words the faith that has already been delivered to and is already believed by God's children. The act of proclamation is indeed the call to remembrance. Now, when we forget this, our sermons become artificial, and we become like actors in a play which, if popular, has an early and late show. If I stand up and rail at you and I call you an unwashed tomb as if I don't know you, you'll think I'm a madman. Or you'll walk away smiling and say, I like him. He really preaches the law. More often than not, the preacher speaks as an elder brother, nudging the younger one back into the fold. Or as a father who says to his children, you know what you're doing isn't right. And while we all might need a thorough scolding every once in a while, more often than not, a word to the wise is sufficient. Just one look from Jesus was all it took to petrify Peter and cause him to remember not only his own broken promises, but also the promises that Christ himself had made and would surely fulfill. Or, if on the other hand, with too big a smile I say to you, Christ has died for you, or God loves you and so do I, as if this news were original with me, well, again, you might just think I'm a lunatic, shouting into a bullhorn to tell you that, yes, the sun has once more risen, not recognizing me as one who knows Christ every bit as well as do you. But then this is not a call to silence. What's whispered in our ears should be shouted on the rooftops, and the embers should be stirred, for the love of God is new every morning. So today, Peter, whether by pen or imprimatur, calls us to remembrance. I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember, pleads Peter, the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, lest you fall prey to the scoffers and become enticed by those who are willfully ignorant. These are they who deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. These are they who say, creation, judgment, and scripture, forget about it. Divorce and abortion, forget about it. Christ, forget about him. Life's bottom line is the bottom line, and Sunday morning is for soccer. And in the midst of this willful forgetfulness, Peter pleads, I want you to remember the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. Remember that even as the Lord destroyed the world through water, so also through water he has saved you, drowning the scoffers and cleansing your minds as a pledge of a good conscience towards God. And so, another symposium has come to an end. We've all learned a few new things and have come to think of old things in new ways. Even more, we've been reminded why we're pastors in the first place, and we've been called back once again to our first love. Hear again the words of Peter. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory, as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will be able to remember these things." These are the words of a man who is about to die. The exhortation of a man who awaits execution. And one day we can thank Peter that he accomplished his goal and caused us to remember the one who upon his own execution gave the command, "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen.